My thought about the greatest hit, and interestingly enough, boy, I could have used all these different athletic plays out of this next passage. You'll see. And but it is one of the greatest hits of Philippians, and it's one that's often talked about. It's usually a New Year's Day text. First sermon of the year has been this sermon, this text often. It's a favorite of Paul's. It's one of the greatest hits, and so I'm going to share it with you, and I'm going to share it with you. It has a necessary connection to last week's text. So let me talk about that first. Paul basically said last week, and we reiterated that. Listen, when I came into religion. This last song was a great piece to this. Is that when I came into religion, here's what was going on. I was doing everything I could and everything I thought that God wanted me to do to get to Him. But what I realized was that I didn't have a righteousness that would get to God. I couldn't make me good enough to get to Him. And what I realized was that wasn't His deal all along. His deal was that He had a righteousness and that He would come to me. That He would rescue me out of His goodness. That He would send His Son, the perfect one and the righteous one. And that He would take my place. Not only would He bear the weight of my sins and pay for them in full, but He also would live the life that God expected men to live. And He would do that. Instead of me and for me and for us, His church. And so what happens is then Paul said, and when I realized that, when I realized that everything that I had brought to God was literally dung, and that what Christ was going to give me was a righteousness that was not of my own, but that it was Jesus' righteousness and that it came to me as I believed it. Or in believing, and that me living out that is that the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus and the faith that was His and what He had to offer was my victory and my triumph. And so then at the end of this, he said, so everything about my life is that I just want to know the guy who came to me. I just want to know Christ. And so we're here on Valentine's Day, and you think about like this, you know, well, I love my wife, and I do. And I was telling her today as we drop the remote behind the bed often, and there's some little crack that it falls in, and I can't get it. I usually have grandchildren that will go behind the bed and get it. But today, I mean, you know, because of my love for her, I had to figure out a long, you know, tool to pull the remote out. And I let her know that this was an example of how deeply I loved her. No, I love my wife, but let me tell you something, that nobody knows how to love their wife. This is our problem. This is religion's problem. I'm going to figure out how to love my wife on my own as if you know how to love at all. We're broken and flawed, and you don't know how to love on your best day. And what Paul said is, I figured something out, man. That I had the thing all backward, that God would love me, and I would get to know the one who does know how to love. And then I would be able to love like I'm being loved. Right? And everything now works, right? Because like I'm not trying to figure it out, right? I mean, Christ has figured it out, but I can look to Him. And so my aim then, and here's our first verse from last week. My aim then is to know Jesus, to know Him. and to experience the power of his resurrection. And I want you to think about this in its simple theological terms before you think about it in any other way, because it's astonishing just in those terms. The resurrection and the power of the resurrection was God's mighty declaration that Christ's sacrifice for you has been accepted by him. I want to know that. I want to be able to look at God and see that there's no barrier between me and him because of he accepted Jesus' sacrifice for me, and I want to know the Jesus that was willing to do that. And then I want to know Jesus. I want to experience the power of his resurrection and to share in his sufferings, and let me unpack that for a little bit. You know, you think about like, well, what is it to share in the sufferings of Jesus? Well, I'll tell you one of the things that Jesus had to bear in his body the sins of people, and you have to bear in your body the sins of people. You have to hear them on their worst day. You have to experience the pain of their sin against you. You have to be troubled with their rejection and their and the way that they treat you, and that they don't invite you to the party, and or that they just don't like you or don't like your, you know, whatever it is about you. I have to suffer what Jesus suffered. But let me tell you something that's different, that Jesus didn't have to suffer except for one moment on the cross. Is that I have to suffer with this sin, the fallenness of man, the experience of sin, the desires of sin all the time. I have to suffer with those. Haven't you ever just like blown it and then thought, Lord, I don't want to blow it anymore. Right? I mean, you know, like sin, we only sin because we want to. Somebody say amen to that. It's the truth, by the way, in case you're wondering. And so, like, Lord, why do I want to do that? That suffering. Jesus suffered sin. He suffered the full weight of it when he paid for it on the cross. And so that's it. And to be like him in his death, to be like him in his death, you know, if anybody wants to follow me, he must first what? Deny himself and then, yeah, exactly, take up his cross and follow me. That is, put to death those desires, put to death this and that and the next thing. And I mean, you know, and I'm only scratching the surface of the depth of this whole verse that I could spend all night on, but I'm not going to because I need to rush along. But and somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. That's the eschatological glory of the whole thing, is that's where we're headed, is the resurrection of the dead. And then listen to what he talks about. And I'm just going to read this whole text and then make a couple comments about it. Not that I have already attained this. That is, I have not already been perfected. But I strive to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, I want you to listen to something. If I were going to title this, and this will probably be on the webpage, it's you hit what you shoot at, or something along those lines. And so Paul says, this is what I'm shooting at, and I haven't attained it. But this is what I'm shooting at, and this is what I'm striving to lay hold of. What am I striving to lay hold of? That for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. And so this is what he's saying. He said, I'm trying to lay hold of the realities that Christ has laid hold of me. But I will tell you that the solution to all of our problems is to finally be found in Christ, having a righteousness that is his, right? It is to finally lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of you. To finally feel this life that comes, if you will, from losing yourself and laying hold of Christ. And my brothers and sisters, he says again, I do not consider myself to have obtained this. But listen to what he says, and listen to this. But I'm single-minded. I'm single-minded. And forgetting the things that are behind, back when I was lost, back when I was living as an old man, with this goal in mind, listen to the words. I haven't attained it. I'm striving toward it. I don't consider to have attained it, but I'm single-minded. I have a goal in mind that I'm striving towards, and there's a prize in mind, and it's an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so I want you to listen to it this way, too, is that what I'm striving toward and this goal that I have in mind also is an upward call. In other words, somebody's calling me up to it. It's the upward call of God. So you say, wow. So in other words, if you think about where I am right now and where I need to be, there's an upward call that says you're not there yet. Somebody say amen to that. I haven't attained it, right? I'm striving toward it. And what is it? To lay hold of Christ, who has laid hold of me. And so he says, therefore, those of us who are imperfect, embrace this point of view. In other words, thinking about it properly. And if you think otherwise, God will reveal to you the error of your ways, that this is the only thing going, is laying hold of Jesus, who has laid hold of you. That's it. And then he says this, he says, be imitators of me. So what is the upward call, and like how do I do it, if you will? How do I lay hold of it? Well, we follow people. Jesus said, if anybody wants to follow me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. And how do we follow him? 1 Corinthians 11, 1 says, be imitators of me as I'm an imitator of who? Jesus, exactly. So you follow me while I'm following Jesus. I'm doing, and what is that about? That's not in order to be accepted by Jesus, but that's because I'm laying hold of the fact that Jesus has accepted me. You hear the other way around. In other words, you know how to love your wife? Well, follow Jesus as he loves your wife. You love her like he loves her. That's your Valentine's Day thing. So like Tuesday night, I'm going to love you like Jesus, right? I mean, that's it. And girls, y'all can do that too. And so, but here's what he says. So he says, be imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and listen, watch carefully those who are living this way. In other words, don't imitate only me, but imitate everybody who's living this way. We're the people of God who are following Jesus, who have looked to him and have heard the upward call, and who have a righteousness that comes from somewhere else. And all of our eggs are in the basket of Jesus Christ. And all we want to do is be conformed to his image, to do what he wants us to do, to forgive because we've been forgiven by him, to accept because we've been accepted by him, to love because we've been loved by him. And so he says, and watch carefully those who are living this way, just as you already have us as an example. And then he says in the negative, for many of whom I have told often to you, and I'm now even telling you with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. And he had already talked about these guys last week. They're the dogs. I mean, these people that are trying to bring something other than Christ to you. Trying to bring performance and religion and trying to tell you that you need to work to get to Christ instead of work because Christ has gotten to you. And he said, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, their glory is in their shame, and they have their mind set on earthly things. And what are the earthly things ultimately? Go back to Paul. I mean, he's talking about himself. He had his mind set on earthly things when he was trying to be the guy that God could accept. That was all about Paul, not about God. And so he says this, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. And even now he's imaging us into his image. Isn't that right? And with And by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And so Paul says, he says this, listen, I have an aim and I'm not there yet. I have an upward call that Christ has so loved me and so captured me and has been and is my righteousness. And now my eye is to see him and see how he has loved me and has loved the world. And I want to be like him. I want to lay hold of that which has laid hold of me. I want to know Christ. And it's the same. And so I was listening to this interview about this Mahone guy. And one of the things they said is that he doesn't have any, you know, this upward call deal. He doesn't have anybody else to chase, they said. Like now all he has to do is chase Ghost, they called him. Because, you know, Brady retired, so he's still chasing Brady on a few things. But they were talking about all the things that he's already in 5 years accomplished. And he goes, he don't have anybody else to chase that's in the league. The only person he has to chase now is Ghost. And I want you to think about this. You know, we live a lot of times by comparison, and even Paul tells us to be imitators of him as he's imitating Jesus. And even Paul says, do you look around you and you find godly people and you imitate their lives? And so, but I will tell you that at the end of the day, a godly person is just going to point you to Jesus himself. Because there may be Christian stars that are worth imitating in the way that they live their life and in the way that they love God and in the way that they pursue the Lord Jesus and in the understanding they have of his righteousness and in their lives and how they've submitted their lives to his righteousness. But if they're a real Christian, Finn, they're just pointing you to Jesus. And the upward call of God, that is that what happens is that, and I've talked about this before, and this is like a sports metaphor. It's like, well, the star he's shooting for now is not Brady because Brady's retired, but it's Brady's ghost. Does that make sense? And so let me explain it to you in a different way. Like the star that we're shooting for is named by himself the bright and morning star. And what happens when I'm in love with him and he's in love with me? Because he's in love with me and because he's devoted his life to me, because he's serving me. I didn't come to serve, to be served, but to serve, said Jesus. And so Jesus is serving you and he's loving you and he's giving his life for you. And suddenly you're in love with him and you see that and you realize that. And then guess what happens? You want to be like the one who's loving you. You want to be with the one who's loving you. You pursue him. You want to know him. And you want to experience everything about him, the power of his resurrection, sharing his suffering, all the above. You want to experience the one who loves you in all of the different dimensions of that experience. And what happens is that, and that is the upward call of God. I mean, think about it. It is the love of God that calls me to love God. Does that make sense? It is the love of God that calls me to love you. It is the love of God that not only calls, meaning motivates or inspires me to love you, but it's the love of God that makes me look around for people who love God and want to imitate their lives also. And so what happens is that God says that we do that. And Paul says this message that what God has done in Christ Jesus, which he calls the gospel, what God has done in Christ Jesus to save people from his people from their sins, what he calls the gospel is this inspirational and aspirational call of God by which he laid hold of me and by which I lay hold of him and the world. And so listen to how he shakes this out in the 1 Corinthians 9 passage that we've already talked about. And Brett preached this passage. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, he says, that I may share with them, that's us, in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. And what does he say to us? You run so that you can receive the prize. What's the prize that he just mentioned in Philippians? The upward call of God in Christ. You run that way. And then he says this, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. You think about the guys you're fixing to watch if you're going to go watch the Super Bowl. Every one of them's diet is strictly and fiercely exercised. Every one of them gets up every morning and goes through X amount of hours of discipline and routine and all this kind of stuff. And you heard these guys when they play their music, and don't be thinking that they're not exercising the self-control that it takes to practice day by day by day to stay sharp and wonderful, and so that they can bring this beauty to us, right? Every athlete exercises self-control in how many things? All things. They sleep right, they do this, they do that. Every piece of their life is an exercise of self-control. Why? They're doing it because they want to win the prize. They want to win the prize. And he says, so I don't run, listen to what he says, I don't run aimlessly. I have my aim on something. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got my eye on something. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens is that when I get my eye on something and my aim on something, then I'm self-controlled and I'm not flailing around just chasing whatever desire there is to chase. That's where we get off track. We start looking for this to fulfill us and that to fulfill us and this to make us good and that to make us good. And next thing you know, we're running down this road and that road and this road and that road, and we're completely empty because we're chasing what Solomon would say is the wind. And Paul says, not me. I'm not running aimlessly. I know exactly where I'm running. I'm running towards Jesus and the good news about him. And he says, I don't run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating in the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it in control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Well, this is simple, and you can hear all the sports metaphors in that whole teaching. And that is this, that they... Even Paul said this, they, these supreme athletes, have a prize that they're trying to win, and tonight it'll be the Super Bowl if they win it. And they have completely set their aim on that prize, some of them from the time they were little boys. And tonight, one of them will win it. One group of them will win it. But for us, our prize is Christ. And when we set our eyes on him, you know the little old chorus that they sang, turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. Set your eyes on Jesus. And I promise you that the key that Paul talked about, which is that I'm not doing anything to get to Jesus. Jesus got to me. I'm not working to get to him. He worked to get to me. I'm not sacrificing to get to Jesus. Jesus sacrificed to get to me. But what I am doing is I'm living my life now led by that sacrifice, laying hold of what God in Christ did to lay hold of me. And then once you lay hold of it, everything else begins to work itself out. You know how I love to, know how to love my wife? Because Christ has loved me. Isn't that exactly what Paul told the church? He said, husband, do you love your wife? Just like Christ loved the church. Right? You lay hold of Jesus, and you lay hold of how Jesus loved the church, and you'll know how to love your wife. And everything else in your life will work out once you get that order right. Lord, we love you. We're glad to be here with you. Our aim is you. You've done it all. You're the bright morning star. You're the glorious one of the glorious. You're the righteous one. You're all that we need and everything we need. And Lord, we pray that you would turn our hearts away from the empty pursuit of trying to find purpose, value, and meaning or aim or goals or anything else outside of you, and set our hearts and minds on that upward call, that draw that is higher than us, and more wonderful than us, even our Lord Jesus Christ, and allow our lives to reflect that as we live it out. In Jesus' name, amen.